It's time for India versus England, a four test series, and of course, followed by the limited overs leg. And we cannot be more excited about it. It's what test cricket does to you, especially when you are coming on the back of an exciting Australia versus India contest or a Sri Lanka versus England contest. But this time it's India versus England, and it is for a place in the World Test Championship final as well. Australia will be watching, but it will be India and England playing. And this is the shorter version of Hotspot, the cricket podcast. Let's call it Hotspot Daily. And I am Chetan Narula, sports journalist and broadcaster, welcoming you on Hotspot Daily, the first ever episode. And we'll be looking ahead to India versus England, the first test match at Chennai. And with me throughout this test series is BBC Test Match Specials, Daniel Norcross, a voice which has regaled fans across the world with that elementary funny bone and a lot of cricketing knowledge. Welcome, Daniel, for the first time on Hotspot. How are you doing and how are you looking forward to the series?
Oh, Chetan, well, firstly, thanks ever so much for having me. I'm very excited. When England play test matches against, and it's got to be said, Australia, India, partly because of the length of those series, it really gets the juices flowing, doesn't it? I mean, we've just had two tests against Sri Lanka, and you don't get a chance quite to get the narratives going. But the beauty of a test series between India and England is that there's four test matches. You can really get into the bones of it. And we'll start to see matchups between particular players and some bowlers getting on top of certain batsmen. It's what makes Test cricket so exciting.
And, you know, we have this added context of the World Test Championship. So let's just start this series or this discussion with that context. You know, India need at least a 2-1 win. Different permutations after that, but at least 2-1. They could win 2-0, 3-0, 3-1, 4-0, at least 2-1. England need at least 3-0. They could win 3-1 and 4-0 after that. England would love to be in that World Test Championship final, you know, whether it's at Lord's or at the Aegeus Bowl against New Zealand. India would want to be there because they were leading for a long, long time. And then the rules changed and they needed to win in Australia, which they did in brilliant fashion. Both teams would want to be there. When I look at that permutation and combination, England winning minimum 3-0, that looks a bit tough, doesn't it?
It's not going to happen. I mean, look, if it does, yeah. it'll be one of the greatest test series victories since India beat Australia. So, you know, I mean, extraordinary things do happen. But I don't think that's what England have got their eyes on, I'll be honest with you. I think that ship has sailed, really. And to go to the toughest place in world cricket at the moment, teams don't go to India and win test matches, let alone series. So England are going there to compete, obviously, and they've got a bunch of very, very fine players, some world-beating players in the likes of Ben Stokes, Jofra Archer, Joe Root, Jimmy Anderson. But, you know, in Indian conditions, for England to win 3 out of 4 test matches is frankly unrealistic. I think India, what they don't want to do is have, you know, say one poor performance in one game and then maybe struggle in the day-night and find themselves, you know, only maybe 2-all or you know, who knows if there may be draws around if the pitches are dead. We'll come on to that. So that will be their concern. But the odds strongly favour India getting through to that World Test Championship final. And that will be a terrific occasion because I think actually seeing a neutral test match, you know, a test match on neutral ground between New Zealand and India will be such an occasion. There are so many Indian fans who live in England, and there'll be so many who may well come over for the game. I think we don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but I think that'll be a startling occasion. We've seen some neutral test matches, haven't we? Pakistan played Australia in 2010 before they had their permanent home in the UAE. And, you know, we have to go a long way back now for cricket historians, back to 1912, when there was a triangular series of test matches in England, and South Africa and Australia played in England against each other. Very soggy summer, that one. So, you know, this would be genuinely a very, very unusual occasion and a great one. But, you know, funny things can happen. You've seen it. I mean, that series in Australia, that was one of the weirdest, the most extraordinary and marvellous series the cricket world's ever seen. So who knows?
Well, Dan, you mentioned a drawn test series between India and England. Let me tell you who will be watching intently, and that's the Australians down under. They'll be watching with bated breath. A drawn test series really helps them to go and play that World Test Championship final against New Zealand. Wouldn't that be a treat? And I'm not sure as many Englishmen will enjoy seeing Australia in a neutral test match on English soil. But let's talk about this first test match. You mentioned the pitch, you mentioned the conditions earlier on. And from what we are hearing in Chennai, it's going to be a pitch which is a bit flatter, different from what Sri Lanka had. But also the fact that it might just assist the pacers a bit on day one and day two. But then it will probably ease out for batting. And, you know, the thing with Chennai, it's going to be baking sun, really. The half an hour difference between the toss and the first ball, the grass might just dry up and, you know, die down in that interim. How do you see England, if we start with their lineup? Do you see James Anderson and Stuart Broad starting the first test match? How do you see the English lineup?
Well, I don't think I do, for the reason that I think England are going to go with two spinners. And at the moment, I think those spinners will be Bess and Leach. And I could be proved wrong, and maybe Moeen Ali will come in, which would deepen their batting. But if they don't go with that, then they've got a real batting depth problem. So if they play Broad and Anderson, Bess and Leach, and they definitely want to play Archer, then they have got a very long tail, really. I mean, Bess is a useful batsman, but he's not a number seven in Test cricket. So the other part of this is I think that England set their stall out in Sri Lanka and they gave us some hints as to the way they want to go in this series. So they rotated Broad and Anderson. There's a strong argument that England's best side contains both of them. But I think they find it easier to play Broad and Anderson in English conditions because then they only have the one spinner. Once they got the two spinners, as I say, it creates problems for the batting. Now, which order they play in is anyone's guess, to be honest with you. We haven't really got any noises coming out of the England camp. You will find out. It could be that they're doing a simple rotation. So Anderson played the last game, so Broad will play tomorrow. And then Anderson would come in for the second game in Chennai. That would be my guess, but we can't be certain. I think Archer will definitely play. They want to get him in as a point of difference. The other thing we saw in Sri Lanka was England's plan here is to have one of the stalwarts, one out-and-out quick bowler in Mark Wood, two spinners and an all-rounder. Now, with Ben Stokes coming back into the side after missing the Sri Lanka leg, there's your all-rounder, and he provides you with better batting ballast than Sam Curran does. So I think what we're looking at is that that'll be the shape of the side. Archer definitely playing, one of Broad and Anderson, two spinners and Stokes. That's your bowling lineup. As to their batting, well, you know, they've got a problem because we've heard that Zach Crawley has sprained his wrist. Rory Burns is back in after his paternity leave. And the issue will then be who bats at three. Will it be Pope? Will it be Stokes? They've played Stokes at number three before in the subcontinent, particularly. Root will always be at four. And then does Dan Lawrence keep his place? England fans will be interested to see the wicketkeeper slot because Josh Butler is going back to England at the end of the first test. So is there a case for bringing Butler in as a specialist batsman only and starting with Ben Foulkes? Because Foulkes will keep wicket, you would think now, for the second, third and fourth test matches. So why not just get him in straight away? That might then create a kind of pattern because, you know, with England having rested players and sending them in and out of the tour, it is vital that they have some kind of core stability, which will come from their opening batting, their captain, Ben Stokes, Jofra Archer, and then the keeper. And to me, the smart move would be to bring Foulkes in for tomorrow's game, play Butler as the specialist batsman, and then you've kind of set a precedent, you know, for the rest of the series.
Well, that's very interesting to hear because Ben Stokes at number three, that would be a treat to watch because you can go aggressive if the intent is there at times, if he's well settled in and, you know, England wants some quick runs, want to attack, want to go on to the attack. But of course, it'll depend on how their opening combination goes. Also interesting that you think that only Broad and Anderson, one of them will play. I thought maybe, you know, play them both in this first test, then rest them both in the next test and maybe bring them back together for the third test in Ahmedabad, just because that's going to be the pink ball test and probably pace will dominate spin in that particular matchup. From an Indian perspective, if I can, Virat Kohli in his press conference has confirmed that Rohit Sharma and Shubman Gill will continue to open. So Mayank Agarwal will have to wait his chance. And the bigger news is that Rishabh Pant will keep wickets. And that's an interesting one, because generally India tend to play Vridhiman Saha and have him as a more reliable keeper for the spinners. So this time around, it's going to be a big test. This step up was going to happen at some point for Rishabh Pant. And especially now that he's such high on confidence and he's played so well with his batting in Australia, they are giving him the chance to be a perennial match winner in the middle order. So it's Rohit Sharma, Shubman Gill, Cheteshwar Pujara, Virat Kohli, Ajinkya Rahane, and Rishabh Pant at number six. That's a formidable batting lineup. And after that, it gets even more interesting, because Virat Kohli says that they want to bring that balance of batting and bowling. They don't have Ravindra Jadeja, so they're going with three spinners. You have Ravichandran Ashwin, you have Kuldeep Yadav, and possibly one of Akshar Patel or Washington Sundar coming in to shore up that spin bowling attack, with Ishan Sharma and Jasprit Bumrah. Jasprit Bumrah all set to play his first test on Indian soil. That's a formidable lineup, isn't it, Dan?
It's a very formidable lineup. There's a little bit of inexperience there, I guess, in Akshar Patel and Washington Sundar, which England would like to exploit. I think the loss of Jadeja, if these two teams were very tightly matched, would be massively significant, I think, because India have got enough of a buffer. I don't think it is going to prove to be as significant. Really excited to see Jasprit Bumrah on home soil. And it's interesting, isn't it? If they're going in there with three spinners, it should tell England something about what India expect the Chennai pitch to do. Because if they're happy to go in with just the two seamers, and let's face it, both of them have had their injury worries recently, so there is a risk if one of them breaks down. But they still think, well, that's not too much of a problem, because it's not the kind of pitch, not the kind of surface in which that's going to be significant. So I think England may take a little bit of a lead from that. And hearing that news, is there the chance that maybe Moeen Ali comes in to give England the extra spin option and a bit more depth in their batting? Who he would come in for, I don't know, because England don't have that settled lineup. India do have the, I say luxury, they've earned the luxury of really working out their best side, and they've got their best players back with the exception of Jadeja. Mohammad Shami is a loss, I think. He's a very, very fine bowler, but looking over the course of the series, you know, the teams that play in tomorrow's game will not be the same teams that play every game. We saw what happened over in Australia. Yeah. There's a massive change around. So while we may speculate over what is the best lineup for any country, these days it's very hard for a side to get their very best team out on the field at any given time. So, you know, we'll see changes, we'll see change-ups. And I'm just really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a great test to see how far England's young team has come along. You know, Ollie Pope back in the side, there's a lot of excitement about him. He's got a very high first-class average for a man who plays his cricket in England at such a tender age, well into the 50s. Be fascinating to see how Burns and Sibley continue their partnership. They were starting to get something going in England. And of course, watching Jofra Archer with a red ball. And let's just a very quick call on the red ball. I saw today there's a new SG ball.
Yeah.
It's got a harder seam, a bigger, prouder seam.
Yeah.
They claim the ball's going to stay hard. They're expecting it to bounce more for the first 50, 60 overs. You know, reverse swing coming in later. So,
yeah, it's almost like the Duke's ball, that's what they're trying to replicate. It's almost like the Duke's ball with a pronounced seam. And somebody like an Ashwin, he always prefers to use the Duke's ball. So it'll be very, very interesting, as you mentioned, the pronounced seam. And it could be a pivotal factor, because if that's what they're trying to do with the red ball, they'll also try and do it with the pink ball, the pink SG ball, which is in use for the pink test matches in India. Lots of different facets, a lot of different aspects. But like I said, it's the hotspot daily. They're going to keep it short. Just to end this short episode, Daniel, what is your one aspect? What is the one facet that you're very keen to see in this first test match? For me, of course, it's always going to be about, yes, the English spinners, the Indian spinners against the respective batting lineups. But it's also about Virat Kohli versus Joe Root. For a long while, we've had the top trio of world batting. You have Kane Williamson, who's up there, and he's had a magnificent New Zealand summer. You have Steve Smith, who's the perennial number one test batsman. Virat Kohli, probably the best batsman across all formats, if I can say so. Joe Root has always been trying to push and be part of that top four. He had a wonderful series in Sri Lanka. He's playing his 100th test tomorrow in Chennai, the 15th Englishman to do so. For me, it's Virat Kohli versus Joe Root. Virat Kohli, 650 runs in the last series India played, or England played in India. Joe Root, he needs a massive series for me, for England to have any sort of a chance and others to bat around him. What do you see as a vital aspect of not only the first test, but as the series goes ahead?
Well, I think that is a crucial one. What would be fascinating to see is, can Joe Root keep his form going when his side is under pressure? Against Sri Lanka, he batted incredibly well. He carried the bat and got nearly 50% of their total runs over the two test matches. He'd found a method. He's changed his method slightly, and his sweep shots are quite extraordinary. He's basically decided that's how he's going to play the spin. It'd be fascinating to see if he can keep that up. And crucially, if he can keep up that form when his team will inevitably come under huge pressure. It's a very different proposition. For me, from an England point of view, there are two things I'm really fascinated by, aside from Root. It's going to be Ollie Pope in a big series in India. There's so much excitement about him in this country. He's come back from multiple shoulder surgery, so really want to see how he's getting on. And Jofra Archer in India with a red ball. I mean,
yeah.
It's lip-smackingly interesting because it's kind of Archer v Bumrah, you know, two big stars of the IPL playing in India. Really looking forward to seeing that. From what I'm interested in an Indian perspective, of course, love seeing Virat Kohli, but we haven't seen enough of Shubman Gill in England.
Yeah,
and getting the opportunity really to get a good eye on him in red ball, seen him plentifully in the IPL, but it's a different thing for the connoisseur. Watching him and how he goes about constructing an innings, I'm finding that a very enticing proposition. And of course, you know, getting our eyes on the second string spinners, because it's always a fascination. It's when you see guys like Washington Sundar has played one first class game in 3 years, and that was in a winning Brisbane test in very exciting circumstances. It'd be fascinating if we get to see him over a couple more tests in this series.
Interesting there, Virat versus Joe Root and Jofra Archer versus Jasprit Bumrah, with Ollie Pope somewhere in there and the spinners as well. For me, Ollie Pope has that charm, that Manas Labuschagne charm, in terms of, you know, he's that upcoming batsman without those quirky personality traits, and I'm hoping to see more of Ollie Pope. I was really enticed to see him during the English summer. This is going to be a fascinating test series. The excitement is just building up. 9:30 a.m. We're not too far off wrap-up time. Some predictions, Dan. I would say I don't see any of the test matches, any of the four test matches, being drawn. I think we'll get a result throughout these four tests. 3-1 India is what I say. What do you suggest?
Do you know, and I don't say this just because I'm pessimistically English. I say 4-0, and I say it because, not because I think England are going to be massively outplayed or uncompetitive, but because there'll be a result in every game, because Test cricket rewards the better team in their familiar conditions. We've seen it a lot of home advantage over the last 10, 15 years in Test cricket, and simply because India, I think, are the best Test match team in the world at the moment. I think if England win a Test match, they'll be delighted. It could be the pink ball Test if the toss goes right for them, the conditions favour them. But I'm going to stick my neck out and say 4-0 India. And I know I'm going to get attacked by English fans for that. So please protect me, Chetan.
Well, the English team and yourself are going to need a lot of protection, I guess. Well, it's exciting. Like I said, not too long to go. 9:30 a.m. first ball. Test cricket. It's always so joyful. It's a beauty. We can't wait. And that's about it from this first ever episode of Hotspot Delhi. And we will be bringing you our discussions, our takes on how this series is progressing each day post-match within a couple of hours of stumps. Do join us. And until the next episode, take care.